Okay, today's daf is daf yud. Again, like Testament Beis, it's not really Shabbos material. It's more the material about brachos and Shemona Esrei. So lighter fare than the question of the shape of a mavui and the structures in a mavui or the structures of the Rishus HaRabim and whether they have a domain of a private domain or a public domain. So let's look here on Testament Beis. We had mentioned in the Mishnah said, a person should not sit before the barber, nor should he go into the bathhouse, nor into his tannery, nor to begin a meal, nor to start judging a court case before mincha time. Rather, he should daven mincha first. If it's mincha, it's around the time of mincha, he should first daven mincha. But if he started these activities, he doesn't have to interrupt the activities for the sake of mincha. So we saw a question, which mincha is this a reference to? And then the Gemara discussed, what's the beginning of starting these activities? So it said, going to the barber, the beginning is putting on the cloak that is put on a person who's getting a haircut. The beginning of going to the tannery is walking into the tannery and tying his shirt between his shoulders. So now, then the Gemara discussed, what's the beginning of a meal? The Gemara quoted two opinions. Rav Amar, Rav said, Mishiyitul Yadav. Once he washes his hands before he eats the bread, that's starting the meal. Rav Chanina Amar, Mishiyatir Chagura. Once he undoes the belt. So the Gemara said, it's not a question. Halan v'halahu. One is a reference to the Jews of Iraq, the Bnei Bavel, the authors of Talmud Bavli. They always used to wear a very strong and tight girdle, a tight belt. So when they would eat, they would have to undo it first. Whereas the Jews of Israel didn't always wear such a belt. And so for the Jews of Israel, the beginning of the meal is not the loosening of the belt, but the beginning of the meal is the washing of the hands. Says the Gemara, Amar Abaye said, Hani chavrayan bavlai, these friends of ours who are from Bavel, Lamanza Amar Tfilas Arvis Rishus. So again, our friends in Bavel who wear belts, according to and they have to loosen the belt before they start eating, according to the opinion that we learned in Masechta Brachos, that the prayer of Ma'ariv is an option, it's not an obligation. Okay, when the Shar Lehim Yaneh, once he loosens his belt, Loma Trachinan Leh, we're not going to make it difficult for him and say, oh, now you need to go back and put the belt back on and daven Meyer first. We say, no, he loosened his belt, he started his meal, let him finish his meal, and then he will get to davening Ma'ariv. So that implies that if Ma'ariv is an obligation, we would tell him to stop the meal even after he started with the belt. L'man dar machova, but according to the view that says that Ma'ariv is an obligation, matrichinan le, we would be matriachim to restart the meal. Ask the Gemara, Tfilas mincha, but in regards to davening mincha, to the kulei alma chova, everybody agrees that mincha is an obligation. Utnan, and even in regards to mincha, we learned imit chilu, ein machzikin. If they started the meal, they don't have to stop the meal for mincha. So if you don't have to stop the meal for mincha, certainly you shouldn't have to stop the meal for ma'ariv, even if ma'ariv is a chova. As Rav Chanina explained, what does it mean you don't have to stop the meal for mincha? At what point did you start the meal and you don't need to stop it for mincha? Mishiyatir chagora, once you loosened the belt. Answer the Gemara, now starting daf yud amud aleph. Maybe there's a difference. Hasam, in regards to mincha, we said if you started the meal, you can continue. Because lo shchicha shichrus. In regards to mincha, it's not likely that a person's going to get drunk. People didn't drink alcohol in their afternoon meals. But hacha, but here, in regards to ma'ariv, if ma'ariv is an obligation, we will make you stop the meal even though you started, because shchicha shichrus, because it's very likely to get drunk in the evening meal. So even if somebody started the evening meal, we'll tell them stop. Now you have to daven ma'ariv. And the reason why we'll tell him to stop if Ma'ariv is an obligation is because we're worried he might get drunk during the evening meal and then end up not davening Maariv at all. Inami, alternatively, the mincha, in regards to mincha, kevan, one second. Paul, can you just mute everyone, so and then I'll unmute myself. Oh, thank you. Okay, do you hear me now? Can everybody wave? Do you hear me? Yes, you hear? Okay, great. So, in regards to mincha, we're worried that a person might, we're not worried that a person would get drunk. That's what we say. If he started, he can continue. But in regards to marva, we're worried that somebody might get drunk. There we say, if he started, he still needs to stop. Inami alternatively, b'mincha, in regards to mincha, kivan dekvia le'zimna, since there is a set time, there's a very limited time for mincha. You have, as Baruch pointed out on our chat before, you have mincha gedola until plaga mincha, or mincha gedola until shkia sahama. There's a limited amount of time that you can daven mincha for, and there's a certain amount of time that it's ideal to daven mincha. So since there's a set time and you're going to lose out after that time, mirtas, the person is very worried. Velo asila mifsha, and he's not likely to lose out on mincha entirely. There's a pressure on him to daven mincha because he doesn't want to lose the time. So therefore, even if he started the meal, we're confident that that pressure is going to prevent him from losing out on davening mincha. However, arvis, in regards to Maariv, if it's a chova, given the kulu lailas man arvis, since the whole night is the time for Maariv, lo mirtas, a person's not afraid that he might lose out on Maariv. He figures, I can do it later. Therefore, v'asi l'mifsha, he's likely to be posheya. And therefore, since he thinks he can delay and delay, if we would allow him, once he started the meal, to continue, and not to stop to daven Maariv right away, he's going to delay and delay, and end up not davening Maariv at all. Maskafar of Shesha, so if Shesha challenged this, Trichusa, Lemyesar, Hamyane, is it such a tircha to put the belt back on? Oh, or furthermore, Lekuhachi Velitzli, why don't we say, okay, you took off your belt because you wanted to start the meal, so stand up like this and daven. Answer the Gemara, you have to look good when you daven. You have to be wearing honorable garments. So to stand up like this without a belt on is not right. Yishim Shenemer, because the Pasuk says, Hikon l'kras Elokecha Yisrael. Prepare yourself towards your God Israel. You have to prepare yourself, and you have to look, you know, like a piece of royalty and like someone greeting royalty in order to daven. That's why it's not right to get up and to daven without a belt on. Now some stories about this principle of hikon. Rabba bar Avuna, before davening, rami puzmaki umatzli. So Rashi says these are shoes of cloth. Maybe they're prominent socks, silk socks. He used to put on the special socks, and then he would daven. He said, what's my source? Amar, he said, hikon lekras elokecha Yisrael. Rava, shadi glima, he'd throw off his top cloak, upachar yadeh, and he would, you know, wrap his hands in a submissive gesture. And he would daven Shmona Esrei. He would say, Ka'avda kamei marit. I'm standing like a slave before his master. Amar Ravashi. Ravashi said, Chazina leila Rav Kahana. I saw him, Rav Kahana. Ki'ika tzara ba'alma. When there was a pain in the world, and there's a need for prayer, Shadi Glima, he would throw off his top garment, he would throw off his coat, he wouldn't daven wearing his coat, because that would be a sign of disrespect. I could wear my coat in front of the King of Kings. Pachar Yade, he would wrap his hands, one and the other, Umatzli, and he would pray. Shmona Esrei, Amri would say, Ka'avda kamei marin, I'm like the slave in front of his master. Hikashlama, and there was peace. Lavish, then he would wear the cloak as well. Umiskasi, Umisatef, Umatzli, and then he would put the talis on, and he would pray the Shemona Esrei. He would say, I should wear a fancy robe because of Hikon Lekras Elokecha Yisrael. Prepare before your God Israel. When you approach God, you should be looking your best. You're going before the King of all kings, and therefore he would wear a very honorable outfit. Rava Chazil Rav Hamnuna. Rava once saw the great rabbi Rav Hamnuna, the Kamarich Betzluse, that he was elongating his Shmona Esrei. He was praying and praying and praying and dwelling on the Shmona Esrei for a while. Amar said, I don't understand. Manichin Chaya Olam. How can people leave eternal life, namely the study of Torah, for Oskin Machaye Shara, and be busy with temporary life? Lusavar, and he held, Zman Tefillah L'chud, the time for prayer is one thing. Zman Torah L'chud, the time for Torah study is something else. Rabbi Yirmi Abba Yosef Kamed Rav Zera. Rabbi Yirmi was sitting in front of Rav Zera. And they were busy learning Torah. It was getting late to daven, so they were late to their davening. So Rav Yirmiya got stressed and was trying to hurry up. He was trying to hurry up to daven. Rav Zera said about him, the pasuk says, "Meisir azno mishmoa Torah," someone who removes his ear from hearing Torah. His prayer is also an abomination. So what are you rushing to leave Torah to the daven? It's wrong to leave Torah, like we saw before, which is Chaye Olam, for the sake of Tefillah. Torah deals with eternal life, whereas Tefillah is the questions of this world, of temporary things to get them. It says the Gemara, Me'imasai Hatchalastin. What is the point which is the beginning of a court case? Rav Yirmiya and Rav Yona, they said, Chad Amar once said, Mishiyas Atfu HaDayanim, once the judges wrap themselves in a talis. Chad Amar once said, Mishiyiftachu Balei Dinim, once the members of the litigants begin with their arguments. So Lo Pligi, it's not an argument. Hada Askiv Asu B'dina, one is where the judges were already sitting and dealing with cases. So if they're already dealing with cases, so the beginning of the court case is once the litigants make their claims. Ha. This that we said at the beginning of the court cases, once they wrap themselves in their talesim, was the lo askiv asubadina. They weren't in the middle of court cases. So since they weren't in the middle of court cases, what's the beginning of court cases? When they sit down and wrap themselves in the talis. Rav Ami and Rav Asi were sitting and learning between the pillars. We saw this earlier, that there was a base medrash on the second floor. Downstairs there were pillars. And down the base knesses on the second floor. Downstairs there were pillars. They used to learn halacha between the pillars. So kol shaita v'shaita, every moment. Havutafke ibud dasha v'amri. They used to knock on the bolt of the door, and they used to say, "Ika disle dina." If somebody has a court case, leo v'leisi, let him come up and enter. And if kizan rabbi Ravuna, haviyastu v'dina kol yom. They used to sit in a court case all day. Havukachalish libayu. So they felt bad that they spent all day judging without eating. Tanali Reb Chiya bar Avadifti, Reb Chiya, the son of Avadifti, taught to them. The verse says, Vayamod Amal Moshe, the people stood over Moshe, Min HaBokar Ad HaArev, in the morning until evening. V'chital Al Da'at HaShem Moshe Yoshev V'dan Kol Yom Kula. Would you imagine that Moshe Rabbeinu was sitting and judging all day? Tarasa Matai Nases. So then when would he learn his Torah? Ella, rather, what does it mean, Min HaBokar Ad HaArev? This teaches you, any judge who judges a court case, the way it truly is, even if that only takes him one moment, but he really judges it, the verse considers it as if he became a partner with God in the creation. It says over here, the people stood over Moshe from morning till evening. It says over there, it was evening, it was morning. One day. This is the Gemara. Ad Masa Yoshvin Badin. How long do judges sit and judge cases? Typically, we said it wasn't all day. We said Moshe Rabbeinu would have a moment of judging, and that's considered as if he made the world with God. How long does do judges normally sit and judge cases? So I'm going to say just like Adzman Suda till the time of the meal. In other words, they judge from the morning till about 12 o'clock, the sixth hour. Amar Rav Chama, Rav Chama said, Maikra, what's the source? The pasuk says, Yilucha Eret Shemalkech Nar, woe to you land who your king is a fool, v'sarayach b'boker yochelu, and your ministers will eat in the morning. Ashrecha Eretz, fortunate are you, Shemalkech ben Chorim, that your king is truly free, and your ministers will eat at the right time. Begvura, in other words, before they eat, Begvura velo b'shasi, they have bashti, they have might and not shti, Begvura shel Torah, they're busy with the might of Torah, velo b'shti shel yayin, not in the drinking of wine. The first hour of the day, that's when right at the beginning of the day, when sunrise, that's when the cannibals would eat. Shnia the second, it's a Canaanite tribe. Shnia the second hour, that's when the thieves eat because they're up all night stealing. Shlishas the third hour, that's when the very wealthy heirs who inherited a lot of wealth, they're not worried about working and having livelihood, that's when they eat. Vias the fourth hour, Machal Polim, that's when the workers eat their meal. Chamishas in the fifth hour, Machal Kaladim, that's when everybody eats. Any is that so? Vam Rapab, then Rapab say, Revias Mansudu Kaladim, the fourth hour is when everybody eats. El Revias Machal Kaladim, you're right, the fourth hour is when everybody eats. Chamishas the fifth hour, Machal Polim, that's when the workers eat. Shishas the sixth hour, it's Machal Tamid Chachamim, that's when the Torah scholars eat. Mikan Beilach, after the sixth hour, Kazorek Evan Lachemes, it's like somebody who throws a stone into the leather flask that has the wine. In other words, the stomach is a leather flask with all sorts of liquids and materials in it, and you're stuffing food in. It's like throwing a stone in. It doesn't accomplish much. It doesn't help much. Amar Abaya, Abaya said, Lo Amar, we didn't say this. El Dolotai Midi Bit Safra. He didn't taste anything in the morning. Abel Tai Midi Bit Safra, but if he did taste something in the morning, Leslenba, then there is no problem. And then if he eats at the sixth hour, it's still considered effective and it's not a total waste. Okay, Amar Rav Abba said, Nisbal Adam Filaz Beis HaMerchatz. A person can pray Shmona Esrei even in a bathhouse. Basically, I'll challenge you. We looked at a brisa, Hanichas Beis HaMerchatz. A person walks into a bathhouse, Makom Shebnei Adam Omnim Levushim, in the outermost chamber, where people are still standing dressed. Everybody there is dressed. Yesha mikro tefila. There you're allowed to read Kriyat Shema, and you're allowed to pray Shmona Esrei. Ve'en tzarech lomar she'ela shalom. And certainly you can greet people with God's nickname Shalom. So you can say the word Shalom, even though that's a kinui, that's a nickname for Hashem, you can do that. U'maniach tefillin, put tefillin on in that area of the bathhouse. Ve'en tzarech lomar she'ela cholitz. And certainly, if you were wearing tefillin already, you can walk in with it. You don't have to take the tefillin off. However, Makom Shebnei Adam Omnim Arum Levushin, in a place where people are standing both naked and clothed, that's the next chamber within the bathhouse, Yesham Sheila Shalom, so then you can say the word Shalom to somebody else. You can say Shalom to your friend, even though Shalom is a nickname of God. But Ein Shem Mikru Tefillah, you're not allowed to pray, you're not allowed to daven, you're not allowed to learn Torah there. Vein Acholitz Tefillin, again, if you're wearing tefillin, you walk into that middle chamber, you don't have to take off your tefillin, but Ein Maniach Lecha Tefillah, you can't choose, this is the first choice to put on the tefillin there. Makom Shebnei Adam Omdim Arumim, in a place where people stand naked, where they're actually bathing and sweating, Ein Shem Sheila Shalom, you're not even allowed to say the nickname of God, Shalom, when you see a friend, you can't say Shalom Alecha. Vein Tzarech Lomar, Mikro Tefillah, certainly you can't daven there, nor learn Torah there. Macholi tefillin, you take off your tefillin. Vein tzarech lomar she'ena menichan, and certainly he doesn't put them on. Says the Gemara, Kikam Rav Ada Bar Ahava, this is what Rav Ada Bar Ahava said, that you can pray in the Beis HaMerchatz, that's Bemerchatz, she'ein bo adam. That's talking about a bathhouse that doesn't have a person in it. In other words, there are no people who are bathing in it. So if there are no people bathing in it, that's when you're allowed to pray in the bathhouse. Ask the Gemara, Amar Rav Yosi Bar Chanina, but didn't Rav Yosi Bar Chanina say, Merchat Shamra, when we said you can't pray in a bathhouse, Ava Pishayim Bo Adam, even if there's no people in it, Pesachisi Shamra, when we say you can't pray in an outhouse, and you play a lavatory, Ava Pishayim Bo Tzala, even though there's no excrement, you can't pray there. Ella, rather, said the Gemara, Kikam Rav Ada, when did Rav Ada say this? Bechadati, with a new bathhouse, and a person has never bathed in it. They've only prepared it to be a bathhouse. They're going to make it a bathhouse. That's where Rav Ada said you can pray in it. So the fact that it was mizuman, it was consecrated, we shouldn't say consecrated, it's prepared, it's dedicated, it's on track to be a bathhouse, doesn't allow you to pray, allows you to pray in it because it hasn't yet been used as a bathhouse. Ask the Gemara, but how many boy le Ravina? Didn't Ravina have this question? He's Ravina le'beis say ma'u. If a person takes an area and says, this area will be a lavatory, this is an area where I will go to the bathroom. Yesh zimun, do we see that dedication alone gives it the status of a bathroom place and you can't pray there? Or ein zimun, or that dedication does not give it the status of a bathroom place. And that was not resolved. Answer the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Lav Hu Adin L'Merchatz, isn't the same thing about a bathhouse? Says the Gemara, lo, maybe not. Dilma, maybe. Now turning to Yudamid Beis, Shani Beis Akise Demayas, a lavatory, a bathroom is different because it's very disgusting, it smells bad. So there, where there's a concept of it really being maguna, it's disgraceful to pray there. Just dedicating the space is already enough to prevent you from being able to pray there. But in a bathhouse, dedication alone is not enough. People have to actually go in and use it for you to not be allowed to pray in it. All right, going further, we're on Yudim and Beis. Ein Sham She'elah Shalom. In certain parts of the bathhouse, you can't say the name, you can't say the term Shalom, which is a nickname for God. This is a proof to Rav Hamnuna, the name of Ula. Tamar said, Asul Adam, Shitin Shalom L'Chaver B'Beis HaMerchatz. A person is not allowed to say Shalom to his friend in a bathhouse. Mishum Shenemar, because the verse says, Vayikra Lo, God was named or called by Gidon, Hashem Shalom, God who's the source of peace. Tell me, if this is the case, you shouldn't even say the word emuna in a bathhouse, because the verse says, Hakela Naman, God is the loyal God, the source of all of our trust. If you're going to say that that's in fact the case, but didn't Rav Bar Maxia say, I'm Rav Chaim Bar Guri, then Rav Chaim Bar Guri, I'm Rav Neim Rav, you're allowed to say that the word emuna in a bathroom. Answer the Gemara, Hasam, Shem Gufelo Ikri Hachi. Hashem is not called emuna. Hashem is described as being a source of emuna. In the Targumina, we translate it as Elaha Mehemna, the God who is the source of emuna. Ach, but over here, Shem Gufe Ikri Shalom. God's name itself is to call him Shalom. It says, Vayikra Lo Hashem, Shalom. Hashem named him, he called him Hashem, who is Shalom. Amar Rav Bar Maxa. Rav Bar Maxa said, Amar Rav Chaim Bar Guri said, Amar Rav the name of Rav. I know, say, Matan L'Chaveiro, a person gives a gift to his friend. Tzarech L'Hodiyo. He has to tell his friend, by the way, I'm giving you this gift. And in that way, the friend is not going to be embarrassed, and he will be happy to accept it. Shemem, as we find that God tells the Jewish people, I'm giving you Shabbos, and this is a gift, L'das, that you will know, I am Hashem who makes you holy. Tanya Nami Achi also learned a brayse this way, L'das, Kenny Hashem Kadishchem, so that you will know that I am Hashem who makes you holy. I'm Allah Kadosh Baruch Hu Moshe. Hashem tells Moshe, Matana Tova, Yesh Li'Beis Kenazai, I have a good gift in my storehouse. V'Shabbos Shema, its name is Shabbos. V'Ani Mevakesh Lutl in Yisrael, and I'm intending to give it to the Jewish people. Leifo Diem, go and inform them that I want to give them this gift. It can't from here you learn that I'm Rav Shimon Gamliel. Rav Shimon Gamliel said, I know Saint Paslatina, if somebody gives a child a piece of bread as a favor, Tzarech Lo Diya Le'imo, he should inform his mother that he gave the child this gift, so that the mother will appreciate both him and won't be upset with the child eating bread from some unknown source. My Avid Le, what could you do to inform the mother that you gave the child a gift? Amar Baya Shaif Le'mishcha, you should take some of the oil that you put on the bread and smear it on the forehead of the child. The child will come home with oil on his forehead. His mother will say, why do you have oil on your forehead? He says, oh, because, you know, Zev gave me bread with oil. Or another opinion, Malila Kuchla, you could put some blue eyeliner around the eye. Says the Gemara, but in the Chayshina L'Kshafim, but nowadays we're all worried about magic, black magic. Amai, what are you going to do? Rav Papa said, I think that he did some magic on this kid if he has stuff on him, you know, makeup, etc. on him. Rav Papa answered, Shayifle me'oso hamin. He puts on the kid's forehead some of the crumbs of the bread itself, so the mother will know that it's not just black magic, it's a little bit of that which was given to the child, and it was to inform her that so-and-so gave a gift to the child. Any, is that so? That you should tell people about the gifts you intend to give them. Tell them that you gave them the gift. If you're giving a gift to your friend, you don't need to tell him about it. Shemar, as the verse says, Moshe lo yadaki karan or panav b'dabroito. Moshe Rabbeinu was not aware that his face was now glowing with the rays of light because Hashem had spoken with him. Hashem should have told him. It's a gift to have light coming out of his face. Why didn't Hashem tell him? If you're supposed to tell people of the gifts that you give them. It's not a contradiction. One, we're talking about something which will ultimately come out. So that's why Hashem didn't have to tell him that his face was shining, because people would eventually tell him. And the other is talking about something where it's not going to eventually be revealed, the gift. So if the gift is not going to come out on its own, then you need to tell the recipient of the gift that you gave him the gift. Ask Gemara, well, Shabbos is something that is going to be revealed, that obviously Hashem gave us this gift, so why did Hashem have to then tell us, I'm giving you this gift? When it says, Matan Schar Lo Avidu L'Gluye, to know how much reward you get for Shabbos is not going to be revealed, so that's why Hashem had to tell us, I'm giving you this great gift, Shabbos, which has great reward for it. Rav Chisda v'Nakri B'yadei Tarti Matanasa D'Tura. Rav Chisda was a Kohen, so he was once taking the two gifts that are given to Kohanim from the meat, from the ox. V'Amrani said, anyone who will come and tell me a new lesson in the name of Rav, I'm going to give him these gifts. Rava Bar Maxia said, this is what Rav said. If somebody gives a gift to his friend, he needs to inform him, as it says, Ladas, to know, I am Hashem who makes you holy. So when Rav Chisda heard this, he gave him. What a beautiful lesson. In the name of Rav, that whenever you're going to give a gift, you have to tell the recipient, just like Hashem told us about the gift that he's giving to us of Shabbos. So he gave away the matnos kuna that were given to him to Rava Bar Maxia. Amar, so Rava Bar Maxia said, Chavivin Alach Shmaitzit, Rav Guli Hai. Do you love the lessons, the Torah thoughts of Rav so much? Amalayin, he said, yes. Amalayin, he said to him, I know I'm a Rav. That's what Rav said. Milsa, if you have a cloak of clean wool, Alvishayu Yakira, it's very precious to the one who normally wears it. In other words, because you're a student of Rav, and you're used to his style of Chidushe Torah, you're used to his style of new ideas, you search for those ideas and you love them. Amaleis, they said to him, Amar Rav Hachi, did Rav say this? That when you're used to a particular style, a particular type of garments, you enjoy that garment a lot? He said, if that's the case, if Rav said that idea, it's explaining my affection for Rav's Divrei Torah. Basriyasa, Difalimi Kamaisa, this later idea is better to me than the first one. If you have a kitnachriti, and if I could have in my hand other gifts, Hivnalach, I would be giving them to you. Amar Rava Bar Maxia, in other words, if I'd have in my hand other pieces of food that a kohen gets, like truma, or other, I mean, truma you can't give to anyone else, but you know, other matnas kahuna, like gracious hagez, or in this case, more cuts of meat, I would have given it to you. Amar Rava Bar Maxia, Rava Bar Maxia said further, Amar Rav Ham Bar Gurya, said, Amar Rav, name of Rav, Olam al Yishana Adam Beno Bein Abanim. Person should never treat one son better than the other children. Because of the weight of two slayim worth of clean wool, that Yaakov gave to Yosef, more than the other sons, that he had this special garment. His brothers were jealous of him. And this matter eventually rolled out. And our ancestors ended up going down to Egypt because the brothers were jealous of Yosef. Amar Rava Bar Maxia, Amar Rav Chama Bar Gurya, Amar Rav, Lo'olam Yechazer Adam Yeshiv Yishiv Shivasa Krova. A person should always turn and try to live in a city that has recently been settled. So Mitoshi Shivasa Krova, because it's a new city, Avon Osamu Atam, it doesn't have so many sins. Shemar, as the verse says, about Sdom, Hinei Noha Yirazos Krova L'Noshama. Behold, we have this city to escape to there, V'Mitzar, and it's very small and it's recently created. My krova, what does it mean? It's close. Ile mekrova de mikarva zutra, vizuta, that it's easy to escape there it's small, so it's okay, God can let it exist. But the angels already saw that, so Lot doesn't have to tell the angels, leave the city, it's a small city. They know it's a small city. And what does it mean it's a small city? Because it was recently settled, it has very little sins, and because there's few sins, therefore, it is a good place to live there. There aren't a lot of sins there. There aren't a lot of dangers there. Amar Rav Avin, Rav Avin said, Maikra, what's the source for this idea? The Ksiv, where it says, Imalta na shama, let me escape there now. So na in gematria, chamshim l'chad havu, na in gematria equals 51. Well, that's the 51 years of this city. We know that Stone was chamishin utre. Stone was 52 years. So this is a little bit of a younger city than Stone. Stone is 52 years. This is only 51 years. This Shalvasa, talking about Stone, it had 26 years of tranquility. Chavak, the Chavak says, famous Hashanah Abdus Ketor LaOmer. These cities, the five cities of the valley, for the first 12 years, they served Ketor LaOmer. Shloshes Hashanah Maradu. The next 13 years, they rebelled against Ketor LaOmer. Of Arbas Hashana, in the 14th year, there was the big battle of the four kings against the five. And in the end, Avraham won that battle. And we know Stone had 52 years. So then Stone, after that, had 26 years of tranquility. Whereas, as we said, Soar only had 51 years to it. And since it only had 51 years to it, it was younger than Stone. And it's younger than Stone. Therefore, it had greater, it was a safer place. There were less crimes there to endanger it. Okay, thank you all very much. Paul, if you could just send out an invite for the 7:10 daf on the Daf Yomi chat, and I think also let's send out an invite for Mincha at I guess at the regular Zman, and an invite for Shir at 8 tonight, the regular Parsha Shir. Everyone have a wonderful day. Take care. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you.
Thank you.